The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
The El Conservador Radio Show is sponsored by Border Hawk News on 9:30 a.m. The Answer. Time for the El Conservador Radio Show with George Rodriguez. George is a constitutional conservative who loves to expose fake news and liberals. Be a part of the show. Call 210-308-8867. And now, El Conservador, George Rodriguez.
Howdy, howdy, howdy once again, my friends. George Rodriguez, El Conservador, talking to you from San Antonio, deep in the heart of South Texas, on the El Conservador Show. Thank you very much for joining us. We got some great guests, as usual, for you, my friends. Lots has been happening regarding the issues on the border. And, this is just not going to end, my friends, while we've got this this administration, because they don't seem to want to do anything to help America. Everything is everybody else except defending our border, my friends. It is everything but America first. That's their, if Trump's mantra, if Trump's saying was America first, these folks are everyone else but America. It you can't deny it. There's just no denying to it. There was Jen Psaki, whose last day was this past, was Friday, yesterday. She adamantly has denied that there is any such thing as a baby formula headed for the border being prioritized for the border. But we know it's true. I mean, it's been broken by several news sources, and she has the nerve to deny it. Now, my friends, here in San Antonio, here at our local food chain, food store, I was there yesterday buying some stuff, and clearly there are shelves that are empty for various things. Cat food, dog food, baby formula. I mean, folks, these are terrible indicators. And then, on top of that, they leave the door open, the back door open, so more people can arrive. 2 million have arrived so far, illegally, uninvited. And we are expected to smile about this? You know, it just is amazing to me. Well, I've got some news for you, as well as let me tell you who our guests are, because you're going to want to listen to all of this. Our first guest is Mr. Randy Clark, and Randy Clark is going to be giving us more information about a tragic situation that occurred this past week here on the border. Again, another indicator of how bad this situation is at the border and how it is impacting us Americans directly, okay? There was the unfortunate shooting of a 15-year-old who was smuggling aliens. This 15-year-old was shot about 1 o'clock in the morning on Sunday in Kenney County. We knew that something like this was going to happen. We know that many, many, many juveniles are being recruited, are being tempted into this smuggling trade, and they are being caught, usually after a long chase, or they are not being caught. We have no idea how many kids are getting under the radar. However, this situation has happened. This incident happened on Sunday morning, May 8th in Kenney County, and this kid, apparently having watched too many, movies or having played too many games, actually attempted to run the law enforcement folks over. Now, he was in a tinted truck, tinted windows, late at night. They don't know who this person is. They don't know who's driving the truck. So this truck comes careening at them, and they shot him. They shot the truck, and they hit the kid. The kid is, from last I've heard, he was in very critical condition here in San Antonio in one of the hospitals. But again, that is what happens when you encourage illegal immigration. Not legal immigration, illegal immigration. You're going to get this kind of a situation. We also have Randy Clark from Breitbart is going to give us all the details on that situation. We also have Mr. Ken Ward. Ken is a freelance reporter here in San Antonio. And Ken is going to be talking to us about Operation Lone Star. Operation Lone Star is the program, the project that Governor Greg Abbott has put together to attempt to address the border crisis, the best that the state can do. Now, there's people all over the place that say, well, you know, we should get our guns and we should go to the border ourselves. Yeah, you can. Let's see how that works out. You know, let's be my guest if you really think that that's going to happen. Other folks that we should go ahead and put the National Guard on the state guard and the state troopers, everybody guarding the border to stop the illegal aliens from crossing. Again, you're welcome to try that, because if you remember, I mean, this is the classic one. Remember Little Rock, Arkansas, 1958. Those of you who are historians, the governor of Arkansas took the Arkansas National Guard, and he positioned them at all the schools so that they would not be desegregated, so that they would not be integrated. The next day, President Eisenhower federalized the State Guard and told them that they had to help to desegregate. Okay? So the same thing would happen, my friends. The same thing would happen. We would take the State Guard and it would be federalized by Biden the next day, and they'd probably be told to go home, that it's not their role. The answer to this problem, my friends, is in the federal government. The federal government has got to defend America. The federal government has got to defend the citizens. While we have a federal government that does not care about the border or illegal immigration, my friends, you've got this problem. Our final guest, and this is their first time with us, Sheriff Alan Castleberry and his deputy, Travis Griffin. Now, they are very, very important because they're going to talk to us about a story that got very, very little play, very, very little interest by the mainstream media, for good reason. A couple of months ago, I believe it was, Deputy Travis Griffin from Kimball County, Texas. Kimball County is directly west of San Antonio, in the community, in the small rural community of Junction, Texas. They, my friends, stopped a car with some illegal alien Chinese. They were being smuggled, and they were smuggling things, using the back roads, the back less traveled roads, to do that. Apparently, from what I am told by Sheriff Castleberry, this has become the norm. Instead of using the main thoroughfares, the main interstates like I-35 that runs from Laredo through San Antonio, Austin, to Dallas and north on to Chicago and points north, Minneapolis, or using Interstate 10, which runs from Los Angeles through Phoenix, through El Paso, through San Antonio, through Baton Rouge, Louisiana, on to Atlanta. Instead of using those main thoroughfares, they're using back roads. As you know, the United States has very, very good roads, and these smugglers are putting them to use. Well, they caught these alien Chinese, national Chinese. My friends, how many Chinese aliens, how many Iraqi, Iranian, Russian aliens have gotten into the country? I mean, we have no idea, especially using the back roads. We have no idea. The Border Patrol is so busy with processing people that are declaring asylum, people that walk up to them and declare asylum, that there is nothing, that they are incapable of patrolling and catching these individuals. I mean, this is the reality. This is what the Biden administration has done. Well, all right. So Those are our guests. Let me give you some quick news that occurred this past week, real quick, so that you can get a flavor of what we're going to be talking about. First of all, there's a new spin that the New York Times is giving to folks who are trying to defend their property here in Texas and in other places. The lead story with the New York Times this past week, one of the lead stories, was that the border is being secured by vigilantes. They particularly focused on a group in Arizona. But, of course, we know that in virtually every county along the border, ranchers who want to protect their property, who want to protect their families, are having to hire private guards, private folks, to help them. Well, you know, this, again, the first idea that these liberals have is that you're not supposed to have private property, right? But the second thing is, you know, that these are vigilantes that are scaring the illegal aliens. You know, the illegal aliens should be scared to come across the border anyway. So New York Times doing its spin. Then there was more victims. I mean, besides the kid that got shot for transporting, for smuggling illegal aliens, tragically, also on Sunday, two children drowned in the Rio Grande. They are the latest victims of the Biden administration's policies that encourage and even reward illegal immigration, as we know. I mean, it's not going to stop until we start punishing it, until we end any kind of rewarding of illegal immigration. In this case, the family reunification. Just on Friday night, there was a situation where a child, or should I say Thursday night, there was a child, a two-year-old child picked up that was carrying a note attached to them with the name of the family in Dallas, the name of the mother. And so when the mother was contacted, the mother nonchalantly said, "Oh, the kid made it across. How neat." I mean, it's a game for them, my friends. It's a game for the illegal aliens, having their kids put in peril because they are here illegally. And so their kids are brought across illegally as well. And then there is this family reunification. We've already told you about the juvenile that got shot in Kenney County. Randy Clark will give us more detail about that and tell us a little bit more about that situation. We also have another article. I mean, and again, my friends, if there ever has been a magnet, if there ever has been a reward for illegal immigration, it's employment, it's labor. That is the primary historical factor that has encouraged illegal immigration. Well, now we've got the Chamber of Commerce and several advocates lobbying very, very heavily to the Republicans and Democrats that we need migrants for labor because they can't find labor. You know why they can't find labor? Because our welfare system is bloated. Because our welfare system is out of control. Until you get rid of the welfare system, you're not going to be able to find cheap labor, I can call that, or affordable labor. Why should someone work at McDonald's, you know, for $12.50, $11.50, whatever, when they can stay home and make the same money? Why should they do that? If they can get the same benefits and privileges from not working, from the welfare system, why should they work? I mean, it's common sense. So no, before we even talk about cheap labor, about immigrant labor, let's talk first about the welfare system. Reform the welfare system, and then we will talk about cheap labor. Enforce all immigration laws, and then we will talk about immigration reform. But that's the bottom line. I'm very, very happy and proud for two announcements that were here in Texas. First of all, Attorney General Kent Paxton, and he's a regular guest on our show. Paxton is going to investigate the Texas Bar Association because they have been funneling taxpayer money to organizations that encourage illegal immigration. They are quick to provide defense money for illegal aliens so that they can either get out of jail, so that they can avoid prosecution, et cetera, et cetera. My friends, whose side are they on? Whose side is the Texas Bar Association on? They need to be investigated. That needs to stop. The other thing is, that Texas Governor Greg Abbott has announced that he may challenge the longstanding Supreme Court decision that states that that the states cannot prohibit illegal alien children from attending public schools. Again, besides the magnet of labor is the magnet of benefits, which include welfare, of course, and free education. This is another magnet, and it needs to stop. We need to stop rewarding illegal aliens with free education. My friends, that's the bottom line. If we're going to stop any illegal immigration, we need to enforce the law, we need to punish it, and we need to stop rewarding it. That's the bottom line. Once again, George Rodriguez, El Conservador, talking to you from San Antonio, deep in the heart of South Texas. We're going to go to our first guest. Thank you for being with us. Call your friends. Tell them to join us. Hi, folks. This is George Rodriguez, El Conservador. Looking for information on immigration, borders, refugee resettlement, asylum claims, nationalism, and globalism? Go to BorderHawk.news. BorderHawk.news has up-to-date information on these topics and their impact locally, nationally, and internationally. BorderHawk.news has the news that's not covered by the other media or websites. Stay informed on one of the most important issues in this country, immigration. Go to BorderHawk.news. Howdy, howdy, howdy. Once again, my friends, George Rodriguez, El Conservador, talking to you in San Antonio. And we've got our good friend, Mr. Randy Clark, who is with Breitbart. He is a reporter with Breitbart here on the border. And he reported a very, very disturbing news item yesterday, on Monday, regarding a situation with a juvenile smuggler in Kenney County. And we've had folks from Kenney County on our show before. Randy, welcome to the show. Tell us what happened. What was this situation?
Well, early Monday morning, around 1 a.m., we had some law enforcement officers see a suspicious vehicle leaving the border region, most likely out of the Eagle Pass area. And they attempted a vehicle stop. The driver led them on a pursuit. He was in a white Ford sedan. That force is a little over 10 miles, at which time the driver pulled to the side of the roadway. At that particular time, five suspected migrants jumped out and ran into the surrounding brush area. The driver of that vehicle decided, rather than submit to the authorities and surrender and give up, that he was going to try and get back on the roadway. I understand that there were some law enforcement officers, namely Texas Highway Patrol troopers and Kenney County Sheriff's deputy, that were in the front of that vehicle that ended up in the path. And to avoid being run over, they fired their service weapons, and they struck the driver at least three times, from what I'm told. He was struck twice in the chest, once in the arm. They discovered after the incident that the driver was, in fact, a juvenile 15-year-old. Out of San Antonio, Texas.
15 years old.
Now, he was transported via ground ambulance to Del Rio and later life flighted to San Antonio. And we haven't gotten any updates on his condition, so the assumption is he's still in critical condition.
Wow. This this situation of the number of drug smugglings that are going on. I mean, I know for a fact, because practically every time I drive down to the border, I see a chase. So I know that there's a lot of chases going on. However, 15-year-olds, I mean, is this another trend that we're seeing?
You are. And these juveniles are being recruited on TikTok and Facebook and different social media platforms, and they're basically just offered money by wire. They don't really meet up with any coordinated smuggling organizations. It's all done electronically. They're issued money via MoneyGram or through Cash App or other institutions, and so they really never meet up face to face. They're given a pin drop, and it's they believe these juveniles, and in some cases, it's folks with substance abuse problems that find an easy, quick way to get money. They get into this not knowing what the consequences are, and then when they see themselves getting caught because of the increased law enforcement on the highways. Bad things are starting to happen. We've seen that for a while now. But just as an example, in the previous weekend, over the April 30th weekend in Brackettville alone, they dealt with 19 smuggling cases on their highways where this occurred. That's one weekend. You know, we don't hear about it because it's become so prevalent that if nothing bad happens, if nobody loses their life, if U.S. citizens aren't injured in a crash on the roadway, we don't know about it. It's only incidents like this that raise the ire of everybody, and we begin to wonder what's going on along our southern border.
Well, and again, I mean, this happened with involving a 15-year-old at 1 o'clock in the morning, you say?
That's correct.
Wow. So, I mean, we've got to ask ourselves, where are the parents on this matter as well? The shooting that occurred, I mean, this have there been other incidents of shots but people not being injured? Or is this something new because this kid tried to run them over?
Well, from San Diego all the way to Brownsville, Texas, we are seeing increasing reports, not only from the Border Patrol, but by Texas Highway Patrol and county sheriffs and local police departments, that they are finding armed smugglers more than norm than not so. In many cases, those weapons are seized without incident, but the weapons are out there. So, you know, it's happening, but luckily, you know, we're not seeing this get as bad as it could. But it's a sign of times to come. If you put criminal activity, money, narcotics, illegal aliens, and weapons in the same scenario with law enforcement, bad things are going to happen. In this case, the worst scenario happened, and these officers could have lost their lives easily.
Now, you are a former Border Patrol agent. Have you ever seen things this bad?
No. We have had periods of increased migration where things get busy. But we've had policy solutions to those. During the Trump administration, they worked tirelessly with a number of Central American countries and Mexico to make sure there was actually a deterrent. Now we're seeing most of the people who are claiming asylum get released that really are economic migrants that have no claims. And we're seeing a criminal element that is adding to the known gotaway count, which is over 400,000 right now just since October, and was half a million the year before. That's what's being seen on these highways. It has never been this bad. Never.
Yeah, really. I mean, you know, as many times as my family, I mean, in my lifetime, as many times as the family used to go to Laredo to go visit relatives, we never used to see anything like I'm seeing any time that I go to the valley or to the border. I mean, whether it's the Rio Grande Valley or Laredo or towards Del Rio, I encounter a chase. I see at least one chase.
Yeah. Well, and that's the frightening and alarming thing, because if you have traveled into the areas of South Texas, you realize that a lot of the highways are two-lane roads, no passing lanes, and they're very remote. In some cases, if you go near Big Bend north of Del Rio, you're not even going to get cell phone reception. If you're traveling with your family, these smugglers are not career criminals that are in it to make money and will give up and accept their penance. They're juveniles. They are narcotics users and abusers. They're not stable as it is. They're going to try and get away, even if it kills the migrants or themselves, which we've seen that happen, and or if they crash into just a commuting public, whether you have children that are going to school early in the morning hours in a school zone, they don't care. And that's really the scary thing for me.
Now, the other aspect to this is that in the past 3 weeks, we have seen two chases end in Bexar County, in North Bexar County. On top of that, we have seen them. So these situations, this situation is moving north. I mean, I just can't help but feel that, you know, our urban areas are going to start feeling it.
Well, they're seeing it sometimes more than 200 miles from the border. If you start heading towards the Rio Grande Valley, that corridor that runs up Texas Highway 77 ends up through Victoria in those counties, and they're seeing the same thing hundreds of miles away from the border. These outfits are smuggling migrants to communities everywhere across the United States. So these chases can occur, like you say, miles and miles from the border.
Wow. Do you think that, you know, the recruiting of these children, because that's what they are. I mean, you know, a 15-year-old, for crying out loud. This recruiting of these children, is this going to accelerate? Do you think this is the problem? Is this going to make it worse?
I think we're going to see the organized cartel smugglers use anybody that's willing to get behind the wheel.
Yeah.
And it's really hard to get to them based upon the method that they're recruiting. Like I say, these juvenile smugglers, these folks that are coming out of substance abuse treatment centers, they never meet face-to-face with a smuggler. They don't know the name. It's all done online. It's all done electronically through social media. The money never goes from one hand to another. It's wired. So until law enforcement can actually move these conspiracies and make arrests of folks that are in the cartels, they're going to recruit by the most expeditious manner that they can, and that's it. And we all know how much time a lot of our youth spends on social media, and unmonitored most of the time. So it's going to be a real problem, and it is right now.
Yeah, it is. It really is. Well, how can we conclude on this situation? I mean, I'm not sure, you know, what good news we can provide to the people, to the audience, other than we've got very dedicated law enforcement folks that are doing their best.
You know, I think there is no good news coming out of the border. I think we've seen that in the rise in deaths and drownings, and our National Guard soldier that drowned, our DPS trooper that died in Maverick County trying to stem the flow of migrants across the border. I think the only thing we can do right now, until we see some affirmative action out of the federal government and some real policy for border security, is to remind ourselves that when we do get on these highways and our family members get on these highways in South Texas and near the border and other places, that we need to be very cautious and very careful.
Exactly. That's very, very true. We're going to have to be very, very vigilant and very, very careful with that. Randy, thank you for taking time to be with us and to inform us about this very, very tragic but disturbing incident that happened.
Yes, George. And if I get any updates, folks can find that at Randy Clark BBTX on Twitter and on Breitbart's Cartel Chronicle page, which we put all of these stories on.
You got it. Again, we've been chatting with our good friend Randy Clark from Breitbart, and like he says, you can read more and follow his reports as well as other reports about the border on Breitbart. Thank you very, very much, Randy. You stay safe.
Thank you, George.
Once again, George Rodriguez, San Juan Salvador, talking to you from San Antonio, deep in the heart of South Texas. Howdy, howdy, howdy. Once again, my friends, George Rodriguez, El Conservador, talking to you from San Antonio, deep in the heart of South Texas. And we've got our good friend, Mr. Kenrick Ward, who is a freelance reporter here in South Texas. And I want Ken to talk to us because he's been following the situation here in Texas regarding the governor's action, which has been really criticized by both sides, that it's not enough, and, of course, that it's too much. And we're talking about Operation Lone Star. Ken, thank you for taking time to be with us. Tell us your assessment and what you've seen about this Operation Lone Star.
Okay, George, thank you for having me on. I did a piece a week or so ago that looks into Operation Lone Star, which Governor Abbott launched last year in a good faith effort to try to apply some criminal charges to illegal aliens who were coming across the border. Of course, it's seemingly conceded that states can't do anything as far as immigration law is concerned, but Abbott is taking the position, and a correct one, I think, that states and localities are perfectly able to enforce their local and state laws. In many cases, what we see on the border are cases of criminal trespassing. Ranchers are being deluged with daily arrivals of illegals who trash the land and cause other mayhem. And some counties, especially Kinney County, which is between Eagle Pass and Del Rio, has been very aggressive about applying charges for everything from trespassing, which is the number one offense, to car theft, burglary, robbery, all kinds of things. So this has had some effect in terms of getting people locked up. These migrants are being sent to detention centers in Edinburgh, giving me Scottish pronunciation there, and also one in Dili. Now, those facilities were dedicated for these types of illegal alien criminals, and the capacity is somewhere around 2,000 beds. But interestingly, the census has never been over 1,000, so they're at half capacity, and have been that way for since the beginning, about 6 months ago. And simply because the largest counties down on the border, Hidalgo and Cameron, aren't participating at all. They haven't sent a single illegal alien to these facilities, and apparently they haven't arrested any either. So that's really hampered this project and kept it from, you know, really having a strong effect. But now here's the other part of the story. The illegal alien lobby, including immigration attorneys and other hangers-on, have filed a lawsuit against the state of Texas, and specifically Kinney County, for, quote, violating the constitutional rights of illegal aliens, which is kind of an interesting concept. You know, they're making a case that this is like a vigilante activity conducted by the state and by the counties that are participating, and that illegals are being, you know, mistreated and abused in the process. Of course, nothing could be further from the truth. These trespassing arrests, for instance, are done with the consent of the ranchers and the property owners down on the border. So you don't have, you know, DPS agents and sheriffs marauding over the countryside, just randomly looking for people. This is actually a fairly concerted and targeted effort. And as we've said here, the results are fairly modest. Here's an example. I quoted some statistics in my report, and it talked about so far in the life of the Operation Lone Star, 2,887 illegal aliens have been detained and incarcerated. I mean, that's a pretty modest number when you consider the tens and hundreds of thousands of illegal aliens coming across the border. I believe in March, the number was 129,000 illegal aliens came across the border in Texas alone. If you look at that number, and if it goes on that pace, by the time Biden's first term is up, we'll have more illegal aliens coming through Texas than the total population combined of San Antonio, Austin, Houston, and Dallas. I mean, these are massive numbers. These are millions of people. So 2,800 illegal aliens put in jail is hardly, you know, a vigilante campaign that's just arresting people everywhere. It's a relatively modest and restrained effort. But that's not good enough for these illegal alien lawyers who filed suit in Austin, of course, in federal court, claiming that there are constitutional violations. I mean, clearly, this is a bogus lawsuit. It should be thrown out, and the illegals should be, you know, sent packing. But, you know, the way the courts work, you never know, and it's going to take a long time, so it just ties things up, and this is just more added expense and frustration for taxpayers. So, you know, we have the injury of the illegal aliens coming across the border and causing problems for property owners and everybody else, and then you have the insult of the lawsuit. So Texas is getting it both ways, and as you said in the opening, George, Abbott is getting criticized on both sides. So, you know, maybe he's doing his job. I think the one real unfortunate aspect of this whole Operation Lone Star is that it's just crippled, because when places like Brownsville and McAllen aren't even active or participating in the program, it just leaves huge gaping holes where the criminal mischief can continue.
You know, that, first of all, let me ask rhetorically the question, what constitutional rights would someone that entered the country illegally have?
Well, and that it's actually a good question, because, you know, courts have ruled that you know, every human person has some level of protection here in this country, at least. But let's grant that. Let's say that's true. The fact is, the laws that are being enforced in Lone Star are the very same laws that would be enforced against
anybody else.
U.S. citizen.
Exactly.
So it is equal protection under the law.
Right. And then the second thing is, you know, this whole situation of whether or not these folks have some type of right to trespass or to commit some kind of misdemeanor or even a felony. I mean, I just don't understand how that can be justified.
Yeah. This is a law that makes complete sense, and it would make more sense if every county and every jurisdiction was on the same page. But for political reasons, you have some counties that are opting out and just...
So it's obvious it's politics.
They're leaving money. Right. Well, they're leaving money on the table. That's the absurd part of this, because this program is costing billions of dollars. And a lot of that is going to fund DPS overtime and DPS operations, but it's also going to localities to help build their law enforcement infrastructure and to build jails and to add staff and to put more officers on the road and to pay overtime. So these counties in their pigheadedness, like Hidalgo and Cameron, are just not even making proper decisions. If anybody should be concerned here, it should be the American citizens who are being totally misserved by their leaders.
Yeah, and again, I mean, they're playing politics. They're playing party politics rather than protecting the folks who, well, supposedly voted them in.
Right, and so you see the backlash happened in McAllen last year where a Republican mayor was elected because, frankly, the Democrat was just non-compos mentis. They weren't even functioning in any sense as far as public safety was concerned. Now, George, I want to add one other point on this, that the 2,800 or so illegal aliens who were duly processed, arrested, and sent to detention, most of them on trespassing charges. Those terms only go for maybe 6 to 10 weeks, something like that. So the number, even though arrests continue, the number of people in the detention centers is basically remaining flat, because as more people go in, more people are going out. And what happens when those inmates are released? They're taken to Border Patrol, and as we know, Border Patrol's idea of processing is letting people into the country.
Right, releasing them.
So really, this Operation Lone Star is essentially a speed bump into the country. Exactly. It's slowing them down, but it's not stopping them.
Exactly. Exactly. And if there's any criticism, it's that. But then that's not the fault of the state.
Right. I mean, until we get a court that will say, hey, if it's an emergency situation where illegal immigration is out of control and the states do have a right to protect themselves in a meaningful way and are allowed to remove people, until we get to that point, we're just stuck in this revolving door.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I'm glad you put it that way. Thank you very, very much. Ken, we'll let you go with that. Tell the folks where they can read more stuff from you and where they can follow you.
Well, I would suggest a good site is fairus.org. That stands for Federation for American Immigration Reform. They produce some good content, and I always read them. So I would suggest that's a good resource for people to see.
Yeah, you got it. Once again, my friends, George Rodriguez, El Conservador, and we've been speaking with our good friend, Mr. Ken Ward. And you can follow him at FAIR, as well as you can follow us continually. Thank you very much. George Rodriguez, El Conservador, in San Antonio. Hi, folks. This is George Rodriguez, El Conservador. Looking for information on immigration, borders, refugee resettlement, asylum claims, nationalism, and globalism? Go to BorderHawk.news. BorderHawk.news has up-to-date information on these topics and their impact locally, nationally, and internationally. BorderHawk.news has the news that's not covered by the other media or websites. Stay informed on one of the most important issues in this country, immigration. Go to BorderHawk.news. Howdy, howdy, howdy. Once again, my friends, George Rodriguez, El Conservador, talking to you from San Antonio, deep in the heart of South Texas. How's everybody out there? My friends, we've got a new guest with us. I had to get him on because there has been a very, very disturbing, and I'll use that term, disturbing, incident that has happened here in Texas, here in Southwest Texas, in Kimball County, which is directly west of San Antonio, between San Antonio and the El Paso area. And it really, really is a situation which has shown how bad this border crisis has and the ramifications, because we talk about the illegal immigration, obviously, but we also talk about the drugs. The fact of the matter is that we've got more than that happening. We've got a global situation in our backyard from folks that are not necessarily our friends. So this situation, to explain it a little bit better, was a routine traffic stop. Where the deputies found out that the individuals that were involved were Chinese nationals who were illegally in the country, as well as what they were carrying in their cars. So, without further ado, let me introduce our guests, Sheriff Alan Castleberry from Kimball County, and this is the first time on the show. Then we've also got his deputy. Deputy Travis Griffin, and both of them have driven here from Junction, which is a good ways. And I want to welcome them, Sheriff. Thank you, and Deputy Griffin for coming. Tell us briefly what happened, and then we can talk a little bit more about it.
Okay, around it's about 9:15, 9:20 on April 25th. Deputy Griffin had stopped a vehicle there in town that came from the south, 377 South. Stopped it in town, made contact with the driver, and found that there was some undocumented immigrants in the vehicle. And I was monitoring the radio, and we called, and he called, and described the incident and contacted Border Patrol, and they determined that they were here illegally, and we brought them to the sheriff's office.
And what were they doing wrong? What caused the stop? What was the thing that precipitated the stop, Deputy Travis?
So we've spent approximately a year and a half building an intelligence network with surrounding agencies, local, state, federal. We received information that it may be a decent target vehicle, suspected of human trafficking and human smuggling. I received the information. I went down south of Junction in anticipation of the vehicle coming up. I observed the vehicle commit a traffic infraction, so initiated a pretextual traffic stop. Upon contact with everybody in the vehicle, it seemed very obvious that, through their behavior and their words and just an analysis of what was going on with the vehicle, there was something else going on. The driver began fabricating answers for the Chinese immigrants with zero input from the Chinese immigrants. And he was fabricating the answers to my questions. So start digging into it a little bit deeper, start talking to the immigrants, and they basically lay out a typical story of how, the Chinese immigrants are being smuggled in and, the game that's played with their documents and partial payments, et cetera. So contacted U.S. Border Patrol intel agents, and they confirmed that they were in the country illegally. And Homeland Security took the incident and took custody of the two Chinese immigrants. The driver, he's associated with a lot of gang activity up and down the border. The front seat female passenger, she's also an illegal immigrant. She was found in possession of two jars of Xanax, and she also appeared to be under the influence of Xanax. And as far as her status, she's got temporary status because she's in the legal proceedings for deportation.
Uh-huh. How big tell us, Sheriff, about Kimball County. How big of a county is it, and how has the border crisis impacted on you guys?
Kimball County is located 120 miles west of San Antonio on I-10. The county seat is Junction, Texas. The county size is a little over 1,200 square miles.
1,200 square miles. And how many deputies do you have?
I have 8.
Wow. To cover 1,200 square miles.
Yes, sir. And these guys are really good guys. They get out. They do their job. The border issue is what it's caused. We spend a lot of man hours working the highways, doing just our regular job. And this has added a big burden upon Kimball County and the other counties that are dealing with this. And it puts a big strain on the taxpayer, because the influx, just because you go and arrest somebody, that's when things start. I mean, you've got legal proceedings, you've got attorneys, court-appointed attorneys, you've got people that, if they don't make bond, they sit in jail. And a lot of the county jails are full right now. And if you can find one that to put people in, it's around from $65 to $75 a day.
Wow.
And that's not counting their medical.
And you're not a wealthy county by any means.
No, sir. I think we're about the third poorest county in the state. The burden it puts on the citizens, other than the tax, other than the funding, is that, and I get calls all the time, what do we need to do? We're not used to locking our cars.
Yeah.
We're not used to going out into our pastures. We're a farming and ranching community. And the county depends on a lot of hunting during hunting season, and livestock. And we have reports, the plumbing and stuff for the water troughs, windmills, they're getting tore up and are leaving the windmills on, breaking the
damage to the private property.
Yes. Yes.
Do you have a lot of what they call these chases where they end up in private property and people bailing out?
They do. They do. Mm. We've yet to have the ranchers want to file criminal trespass charges on them. As a general rule, we get a hold to the rancher, say, hey, we've got a bailout, and they welcome us with open arms, and they even go with us and help us on the ranch, because they know more about the ranch than we do. Right. And, you know, we're houses and barns, and, well, you can't get up, you can't go this way because we've got a mountain right here. You got to go this way.
Yeah. Deputy Griffin, when you make a stop, now, I mean, you know, there, anytime that law enforcement folks make a stop, it can turn very, very dangerous immediately. When you're making stops nowadays, particularly if you've got intel and, car fits description, what do you guys do?
So, in general, I'm not a regular patrol deputy. I'm an interdiction deputy.
Mm-hmm.
It's a completely different set of circumstances most of the time. But with the anti-human trafficking, anti-human smuggling activities that we're taking part in, there's a significant increase in the risk to us and the public, because cartels are instructing their loaders and their scouts to fire on us on site.
Really?
And we've yet to have that happen during one of our pursuits, but I would say roughly the percentage of firearms encountered during human smuggling attempts has gone up about 10 to 12%
really?
In the last year. Now it's about one out of every four. So it's always something that we're, you know, cognizant of and thinking about. We take precautions in how we, you know, approach the vehicle, even in where we pull the vehicle over. Most of the time we'll wait or try to wait until it gets out of the city of Junction. And you know, we have to follow it for 5-6 miles, but it's safer for the public that way.
Yeah.
Plus, if it's in a more...
So you don't want to initiate a chase immediately, or you try not to?
Not always, but a lot of times that's not left up to us.
Yeah.
Oftentimes, you know, as soon as they see us, the chase is on.
A guilty conscience is a terrible thing.
Well, I mean, they'll take it right to the brush as soon as they see you sometimes. Yeah. We just had a game warden try to stop one. He had just hit his brakes to turn around on the vehicle, and they dove immediately into the brush.
Wow. We've only got a few more minutes here, but in conclusion, what do you think needs to happen, Sheriff? I mean, this situation, it's impacting on a small community. Now, you guys, I imagine, are hurting for funds because I don't know if you've noticed the gasoline prices have gone up.
Oh, yeah.
So you're dealing with that as well as probably other issues like housing detainees and whatnot. What do you think needs to happen to address this problem?
Well, there's a lot of talk about doing away with Title 42. I think it needs to be stayed in place.
Mm-hmm.
The cartels have figured out that this is a moneymaker.
Yep.
And it's not going to stop. If they do away with Title 42, I myself with other colleagues think this is going to be worse.
Yep.
You got to have some. You got to have order down there. You've got to have a program for those folks that need to be here, that want to come here, and do it legally. And if they do away with Title 42, it's going to be a free for all.
It is. It is. Folks, we want to thank Deputy Travis Griffin and Sheriff Alan Castleberry from Kimball County, Texas, who have been here and telling us about another issue, another example of what is happening because the border is not secure. Gentlemen, thank you very, very much for joining us today. Anything you'd like to add before we let you go?
I just want to thank you for having us on, and we appreciate the time to visit.
Mm-hmm. Stay safe, gentlemen. Please stay safe. Once again, my friends, George Rodriguez, El Conservador, in San Antonio. Thank you very much.
Three-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.